Welcome to Ripples of Humanity, where I'm sharing interesting stories from people who are committed to creating change that can ripple within humanity. For this episode today, I am taking you to the area of Dharamkot in Dharamshala, around the Himalayas in the north of India. This is such a magical area above the clouds, with snow-capped mountains as a backdrop and eagles soaring peacefully. It was here in June 2024 that I met Richa Paliel while I was doing a 10-day Vipassana meditation course. Richa was volunteering her time and energy as a server during the course. This is not Richa's first time volunteering at a Vipassana course, and I quickly discovered the passion, peace, and wisdom Richa holds from her path in practicing Vipassana meditation and volunteering in the courses with such love and joy. For those who know me, you would know how much I love Vipassana meditation and the benefit I have gained from this practice. So I thought it would be really insightful to pick a bit of Richa's experience and wisdom and share this with others. So let's get into it. Hi, Richa.
Hi, Ritu.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm so excited to talk to you about Vipassana meditation. I met you in June 2024 in Dharamshala. I was doing a 10-day Vipassana meditation course, and you were one of the volunteers, which is called a server, on the course. There was 40 women on that course and three volunteers and an assistant teacher, and I'm so grateful that you were there. You guided me when I needed it the most to stay the course, and really gave me insight and deeper insight into Vipassana meditation. I'm so grateful. And I really wanted to chat with you today because I felt like Vipassana fits in with the podcast that I'm trying to bring. And it's also from the perspective of serving on a Vipassana course as well, because I think that's such a beautiful way to give back to spreading the teaching. So let's start. I think it would be helpful to explain a little bit, just briefly, because I think we could talk for hours, and we have talked for hours and hours about what Vipassana meditation is and our experiences. But if you can just give a really brief overview of what Vipassana meditation is and what a 10-day course is.
Okay, thank you for those kind words. And about Vipassana, the Vipassana you and I are doing, it's taught by our Guruji, S.N. Goenka. And he was the one who brought it to India, back to India actually, from Myanmar. And as he said, he was here in India to teach his mother that one Vipassana course. But there were like 12 people who attended that course. And from there, like other people who requested him for one more courses. And that's how, you know, now we have like centers of Vipassana all over the world. So
there's centers everywhere in the world. There's about six or something in Australia. How many are in India? Do you know? There's hundreds.
I think 300 or something.
300.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think I read somewhere. And you know, they're constructing new, always they're constructing new centers. Local centers are there. So there are many kind of centers. Earlier they used to rent some kind of religious place. And then people started donating lands, and they had this money, you know, they have enough money so they could buy lands. Yeah. So it's still growing. Vipassana is still growing.
Yeah.
Okay. So in India, there are like more than 300 or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, Vipassana is kind of a meditation. Vipassana word means, it's come from two words. Vi means, it's a short form from Vishesh, which means being distinct or special. And Vipassana means to look, or you can say to observe. So Vipassana word becomes to observe oneself. And in Vipassana, we are working with the sensations. So you can say it's to observe oneself through the sensations on one's body. That's the word Vipassana for you. And it's a wonderful meditation. There are many kinds of meditation, if you heard about them. So Vipassana comes under the category of mindful meditation. And in this meditation, we are working on mostly on sensations on the body, the just the surface of the body, and how it's a connection between how these small things really lead to your, it's called like your neurosystem. It really works so deeply when you're just working just over the just the surface of your body. Mm. So that's the question for you.
Okay. And what makes Vipassana so special compared to, and so popular compared to other types of meditation?
Well, I have heard about like this transitional meditation. They are religious meditations, right? And then there are mindfulness meditation. We are practicing in Vipassana. It comes under the mindful meditation. And I read it somewhere that Vipassana is the highest form of awareness. Mm. It is the highest form of awareness because in Vipassana, we are not taking support of any tool, like any mantras, any kind of outer things. We are just doing a very pure meditation. And because of it's very pure, you won't have any tool to help. That's make it very tough.
Hmm.
And sometimes people they find it very difficult to concentrate. But if once you learn Vipassana, once you keep practicing it, your mind gets focused very easily. That's the thing about Vipassana. So
when we say with Vipassana, and the aim of the meditation is the focusing on the body sensations, and then it's being not identifying with the pain. If something feels amazing, you're not craving the good sensations, and if something feels bad and you're in pain, that you're not averting those sensations. Yeah. You're being equanimous to both of those, and you're practicing that over and over again. Is that a good way to summarize it?
Yes. So in Vipassana, we are working on sensations, and through the sensation, we go to the deep in our body, deep in our mind, actually. The thing is, we are so unaware of what's going on in our body, and Vipassana make us aware of it through the help of sensation in our body. Because whatever happens with us, if someone says, for example, someone says something nice to us, we have some good sensation, which can vibration, we can say vibration, right? So there's some good vibration on your body somewhere. If someone is praising you, someone is saying some good things about you. And when someone is like, they're criticizing you, someone is like abusing you, they're using some curse word, you feel you have a bad sensation, a bad vibration somewhere on your body. And our whole life, we were not able to see that. And Vipassana make it aware about it. And that when we focus, when we can actually, what the word is, when we can look at it, we can easily target this, and we can easily able to get out of it as soon as possible. That's how Vipassana
just by awareness and being equanimous and not getting caught in the story of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So the motive about what I have learned about Vipassana, what my teacher, Reena Huda ma'am, she was my first assistant teacher. And I have to tell you this, that our Guruji, S.M. Goenka, who started Vipassana, he passed out in the year 2013.
Mm.
And I started practicing Vipassana in the year 2020 during COVID.
Mm.
And it was led by one of his assistant teacher. Assistant teacher is someone Guruji himself or his staff has trained to be at the center, because the course is completely audio visual, right?
We have audio visual.
Guruji.
If we go back to that, so when Goenka he brought Vipassana to the world, might promoted it to the world, but it existed before him, of course, but the teaching had been lost, and so he it had been retained in Myanmar.
Yeah.
And then when he brought it to the world, did it as videos of himself teaching so that it would remain pure and remain the same consistent teaching. And to this day, it's still the same in every single center in all over the world. It's the same. Yeah.
It is
the same timetable, everything. I think it's a good time to go to the 10-day course then to explain that.
Okay. So in a 10-day course, a 10-day course is a 10 step-by-step procedure of learning Vipassana, because it's something very deep meditation, and the focus is, you need to focus, like your focus should be really clear and conscious. So they have the Guruji, he decided, yeah, it was like divided into 10 days. Every day you are taught something new. So the first 3 days, like they have, whenever you attend one of these fours, you just not learn one kind of Vipassana, one meditation. There's like three meditation in one course. So the first 3 days, you will be doing Anapana meditation. In Anapana, Anapana means what comes and goes. So you just observe your breath as it comes and as it goes. So that's Anapana. And it's also important, Anapana, it's very easy to do. You can find on YouTube guided meditation from S.N. Goenka. But for Vipassana, you have to attend a course. Okay. So the first 3 days, whenever some person like us, you know, we're from cities, we're working 9-to-5 jobs and all, it's very difficult for us to sit, because in these courses, we are supposed to cut off from the world. There are no phones. There are no contact outside your world. You cannot talk to anyone. You are supposed to only talk. You are supposed to tell the progress in your meditation to the teacher. And if you need some kind of help, you can talk to the server. Like I was the one who was serving while you attended that course. So you have, like, people don't know when first time they come here, they don't know how to sit.
You can't read and you can't bring any reading.
Yeah, yeah. You're not supposed to have a pen with you. You can't write, you can't read.
No eye contact either.
So you don't know how to sit with yourself, right? So first 3 days are just to be sit. All you have to do is sit and observe breath. So first 3 days are just to be sitting and learn how to just sit doing nothing. You're doing something, you're doing really important work, but not the other work. So that's what really Vipassana is. And those 3 days are important to sit with yourself. It's a very important thing. If you are ever hurt, you know that how to heal thing. You have to sit with yourself. So Anapana, they teach you to how to sit with yourself. Learn to sit with yourself. Just sitting. And then the fourth day is called Vipassana day. Vipassana is taught. And every single day they add one more step to it. How to practice it. And whatever is Vipassana is, there are like audios and videos about from Guruji, S.N. Goenka. And those are not available anywhere. To learn Vipassana, you have to attend a course. You can do Anapana on your own, but the Vipassana part, you have to be in a center. So Anapana serve as a base. It's a base of your meditation, your samadhi. Then we start doing Vipassana. And on the last day, the 10th day, we are taught one of these meditations called Metta meditation. Metta means loving kindness. So many of Buddhist people, monks, they say we are doing loving kindness meditation. It's actually metta meditation. So metta meditation is only told the last day, and after that our noble silence is over. And people think that it's not that important, but metta is the most important thing. As there was a story that someone asked Buddha that, why are you teaching metta? It's not that important. But Buddha said, metta is the most important meditation. We are doing Vipassana, we are doing Anapana for metta itself. So metta is loving kindness, in which we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, we share the merits we have gained from this meditation, Vipassana meditation. So that's the 10 days course.
With the course, it's free in a way. Can you explain the payment concept? Because and then the volunteer concept of it as well.
Okay. So the concept about this course is that you have to live a bhikshu life. You have to live a monk life. This kind of meditation was actually started for people like the household people who has a family. Normally, any kind of meditation is done by monks only, monks and nuns only, who are recluse, who have given up their family life. But this meditation was introduced to family people also, people who has their families, people who have households. So when you come to a course like this, as you are, you have a family, you are not a recluse, you are not a monk or nun, This course provides you 10 days experience of living as a monk or a nun. As Goenka Guruji says, that we are not making you wear like monk clothes. We are not making you shave your heads. You have to live a monk life from your heart, from intentions. And a monk doesn't earn. A monk doesn't have his own money. A monk begs. So you have to leave the ego of, I earn my own money. This is my money. So whenever, you know, you go to a course, you say, oh, I spend the money. Oh, I have paid for this thing. I deserve this thing because I have paid for this thing. So you have to leave that ego that I have paid for this thing. Guruji decided to make this course completely free of cost. The course here run on the donations given by people who have already, the previous course done by other people. So when their course was completed, they donated the money. And this is the course that you are attending, I'm attending. It was sponsored by the previous meditators. So yeah, you're supposed to donate money as much you can. And there's no one tells you how much to pay, what to pay. You have to do it on your own. So as your pocket allows you. Yeah. So yeah, Guruji kept it completely free of cost. So you can leave the ego of having the money. Whatever is given to you, it's, you know, like monks have their bowl. Whatever put in the bowl, you accept. So living living with the acceptance of the nature, whatever is given to you, you accept it. You are not the one judging it. You are not the one who paid for it. You just leave the ego. And someone given to me, I just take it with gratefulness. And mind you that if you have been to any center, they serve the most delicious foods and the services they provide. Like many local centers, which doesn't have many services, but they are majority of centers, they really they have this, I'm sorry if I'm using the word, like resort vibes.
Like you're in a resort. And you can feel that the food and everything has been made with love and metta.
Yeah. And you know, when we are serving a course, we have a special metta session at every night in the end of the day. Like during a course, whoever is coming for the first time, they have metta session on the last day only, right? Mm. But as you're supposed to give service only if you have attended three courses, you know Vipassana already, you are practicing it already. So at night we have this Maitri in which we says that if I had done anything which made someone upset, and if someone upset me, I forgive them and they forgive me. We have to, you know, sit there and really have this intention with us every day, every end of the day. And those cooks, those staff members, they also come and they also sit there during this metta session.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have your pure heart. Your heart should be pure. For the next day, you have to restart with a pure heart again. Because when you're serving, there are people, and people get really emotional in these places because, you know, you're cut off from the world and you're made to sit with yourself. It's so difficult to sit with yourself. You know, have you heard Brain Brian's that video, that TED talk about power vulnerability? It has guilt and shame. Guilt and shame as though these are two things which don't let us enjoy our life. So when we sit with ourselves, those things, that shame and guilt comes over.
So how many courses in total have you done and how many have you served on?
I think I have attended 7 10-day courses. Then I have served 3 10-day courses. Then I did 1 Satipatthan and I have done 2 20-day courses.
Okay.
And And
Satipatthan, sorry, what's extra learning?
Satipatthan is actually just it's an advance, but it's not advance in the in context of the meditation technique. The main meditation technique is whatever is taught in the 10 days course. That is the main. You are learning, we have to, you know, when you do long courses, you have to come back to attend or serve a 10-day course again and again, because these are the bases. And Guruji, Goenka Guruji, has given so much knowledge in those discourses at night, which happen during these 10-day courses. So the knowledge he has sparked in these 10-day courses, it's really important, and they are the base of Vipassana, and they are more important.
When you say the discourses, just to clarify that, that's the at the end of each night, there's about an hour-long discourse where Goenka discusses the technique and some of the philosophy behind it, and everything goes into more depth into that. After you've done the whole day, 10 hours of meditating, you then have to you then listen to an hour of that. So just to add that in.
Yes. So that's my courses.
Okay. That's a lot. Yeah. And so obviously it's working for you and you find a lot of benefit from it. I wanted to, we can move into what are the key things you've learned in the Vipassana courses that you can share? That's probably a very, very broad question.
Yeah. When you go to any meditation, you have some expectation from it, right? So when I went to my first course, which I attended in 2020, my expectation was that I used to be really good at math, and now my brain battery is completely exhausted and I need to restart my life. So I was looking for something that which meditation is a great way to calm your mind, to make you concentrate. So I was looking for something which can help me focus on my life, improve my focus, and I can, do better with my life. So my main motive came when I came for my first course in Vipassana was to just learn the technique. I was there to just learn the technique so I can focus my mind. That's all I was looking for. I was not looking, I didn't even expect it to change my life. And I'm really thankful for that teacher that time there. My first teacher, and I called her Guruma. Her name is Reena Huda, ma'am. She is the one who taught me all those things. Because of her, the things Vipassana gave me are, first most important thing Vipassana taught me is true unconditional love. Unconditional love, first for my own self. I need to love myself. And then to others, everyone else, and my friends and my family, everyone in my life. So that's the one thing I learned. And the second thing I would say, how I should be my authentic self, to be myself. You know how people pretend to be what they are not. We wear a mask. We want to hide ourselves from people. So Vipassana gave me this confidence to be myself, to accept whoever I am, and be true to myself. Say the thing truthfully. This is me, and not unapologetically, being authentically real, not being toxic. This is who I am. You have to accept me. No. I know who I am. These things are wrong and I need to change them. I should work on them. And I'm working on them. I'm so proud of myself on that thing. So I become more authentic. I judge myself being very neutral. Whatever is wrong with me, it's wrong. I need to change. Whatever is right, it is right, and I should concentrate on it more. So that's being authentic for me.
And I think, can I share something that I feel like I learned from you that I think you maybe learned from your course was how to cry.
It comes under being your authentic self. So I was a person who, I was very egoistic. Okay. I had attitude. You know, if you say attitude, people have attitude. Yes, I had attitude. And with me, I've been, it's like I was a very stressed teenager. My journey, my relationship with stress is something that I was always stressed. I was stressed as a teenager. And I was stressed as a grown-up. And for me, life was getting harder and harder every single day. And I was like completely cut out with the concept of peace of mind. I didn't know what was it.
And just to add something in there, like we won't go into it now, but you shared with me very kindly the path of your life. And, like everyone, there's been a lot of pain. But yes. You've particularly experienced a lot of pain in your life. I just wanted to say that's obviously being carried through.
It's like Yeah, I know. Life happens to everyone.
Yeah.
And it happened to me. And sometimes, you know, it's not like I'm crying victim, but yeah, things happened to me. And that things really made me stressed out. My nervous system was always on alert. I have lived for a very long time in like survival mode. So I didn't know I could be happy. I had no idea. I'm trying to. My whole life, I craved to have normal things, everything. I never had normal. I never had average. And my craving is to be normal. My craving is not to be extraordinary, not to be out in the shining limelight. I just want to be normal, you know, lost in the crowd. And that never happened to me. And it's a good thing. I'm now I know I'm grateful because I know how to deal with those things. I have dealt with myself. So when I see someone going through it, I know how to deal with it. And I'm really much there to help them. That's really what my pain, what my journey, my struggle had made me. So, yeah. So when I did my first course, I was already very rigid. And I had this that I have to show, you know, they say, fake it till you make it. So I always show up as a strong person. I really believe that I have to keep working on, I have to keep doing, I have to keep showing up. So in that way, I was really hard on myself. I was always hard on myself. And Vipassana taught me self-love. I have to accept myself and I have to give myself love. And I'm really grateful for Reena ma'am for that. Because I went to her crying. I was about to cry and I was really getting it in myself. And I was saying my complaint to her and I was in myself. And she said, you know, first thing you need to just, are you feeling like crying? Let your tears come out. Let them roll out. Don't wipe them out. Just let them come out. Look at your breath. Anapana, in which we just look at our breath. So she said, told me, look at my breath, let my tears to roll out and say what I want to say. That was my first time that I was able to express my feeling without controlling out anything. So
yeah, you did that. I was so grateful that you passed that on to me. I think there was a moment in the course that I was in where I was crying and I had my hands covering my face.
Yes.
I had my hands covering my face.
Yeah.
And you were like, don't do that. Don't do that. Let it out. Lift your head up. Let the tears come out. Accept yourself. Accept your tears. Accept your pain. And I will always remember that.
Because I've been there. It's not because I've seen something. I've been there. I know how it feels like. And the good thing is I know how to heal from it. That's what my teacher, what Goenka Guruji and other assistant teachers, especially Reena Huda ma'am, what they have taught me is to deal, how to deal with those things. It, not to suppress them, to have a closure with them and then let them go. That's the most important thing. So that's what I call unconditional love. So when I started practicing and I was mostly about technique, but then I'm discovering love for myself. I'm discovering being authentic. That was really big deal. And when I completed my first course, I told you, I came home and I saw myself in the mirror and I said, my life is hard. It's never been easy and it's okay. So when I accepted that thing happened, from that day onward, it's been 4 years now. From that day onwards, my life is very, very easy. It's very easy. And that happened because I accepted the hard part. My life was not all hard. Some nice, some easy things were happening, which I was not concentrating on. Vipassana made me be grateful for everything, for the hard things and the easy things.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I started being grateful for easy things. You know, they say, whatever you be grateful, it expands. So I started being grateful for easy things and those easy things expanded. And yes, I have this, there was change in my nature. There was change in my looks too, that people now, they're always there to help me. Whenever I got into some situation, like I got punched, my vehicle got punctured. They were like strangers came and they helped me without expecting anything from me. So I always get help from strangers. I get really good price when I go out to buy something. You know, people are like, I really like you, you know, so I can give you on this price. So these things really change. People's behavior change. You know, they say your vibe attract your tribe. So when you clear out your vibes, Vipassana is actually, it's like It's a Tennessee. In Hindi, we call it tapasya. Tapana. Tapana means to heat, to burn. So when you're doing any kind of penance, the tapasya, you are burning out all the negative karma, the negative vibes in you. And when all the negative things are burned down, only purity is left. It's like having a pure gold. So when you, Vipassana helps you become pure. It's there to purify yourself. It purifies your mind, not just your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, so, that's so nice.
Yeah, so that's the Vipassana.
Yeah, and then when we go to the serving part, so obviously you did three courses, your 10-day courses, and then you decided you wanted to give back and be a server. Could you tell us about that experience and what you've learned from serving?
So when I completed my first course, I was really grateful. I had so much great. I was so much, I had this to be grateful for. I was so thankful to my teacher, Reena ma'am, and Guruji, Goenka Guruji. And that so happened on the last day, on the 10th day. They show us this special discourse on serving people. Do you remember that? There's a special discourse.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah. You feel so alive and elated. Yes. And you want to share that with others. So it's a good time to.
So Guruji, so Guruji in that discourse, Guruji has appealed that if you benefited from Vipassana, I know people donate money, it will be very helpful if you donate your service, you donate your actions. So it's like serving from your hands. You have, if you serve it, it'll be more than donations, more than money can help. So I was like, I really want to help. If Guruji says that service is somehow you can repay, I am so much grateful for Guruji. I am so grateful for Vipassana. It made me live my life happily. I was living earlier. You know, we all are living, but we are not happy. So Vipassana was there to make me how to live happy life, right? So, and I wanted to repay back. Somehow I paid back. And Guruji said, it will be good if you serve. So from first day onward, I was like, I wanted to serve. But it was not, they said that you have to attend 10, actually three courses. Then only you can want to serve.
So right, I think that's different. I think that's different in Australia. I think in Australia you only need to do one 10-day course and then you can serve.
I heard it. In UK I met some meditators from UK. And they even allow you to serve before attending a course. That's also happening.
I think that's not in Australia. I think in Australia you have to do one 10-day and then you can serve. But
In India, we are supposed to, because I applied for service just after completing my first course, and I got a mail from the administration there, and they said, thank you for applying, but you have only completed one course. You're supposed to do three courses. Only then you can allow it. I was like, okay, I'll do three courses. And I did three courses back to back, like after like 3 months and all. So I could serve. I was so eager to serve on that courses. And about service, the service I was doing, that volunteering is very basic. It's very basic service. There are other people who are like, they have devoted their life for Dhamma, for this meditation.
So when you say Dhamma, because that's a common word in Vipassana meditation, Dhamma, can you just briefly say what does Dhamma mean? D-H-A-M-M-A.
Dhamma actually is a Pali word, which in Hindi it's called dharam. And it's not, it actual word meaning is religion. It's not religion here. In Vipassana, Dhamma means, as Goenka Guruji has explained, it means the law of nature. Mm. When we are doing Vipassana, it's like Buddha practiced it. Buddha didn't invent it, Vipassana. Vipassana was already there. So Buddha did like 8 types of meditations. And then he came to the 4th one, which was Vipassana. And through Vipassana, he was able to achieve enlightenment. Okay. So in Vipassana, we are working with the law of nature. Some people say universe. So in the universal, this is a universal thing. It's called law of nature is there. So, there are like so many law of nature, like gravity is one of law of nature. So what the law of nature is, that if you fall from a 10-story building, gravity, the law of nature is not going to judge you if you are a man or a woman, if you're a child or a or an old person, if you fall from 10-story building, you're going to hit the ground, you're going to die. That's the rule. But what happened is, sometime, law of nature bend its rule, and that's called miracles. Miracles happens, right? And other time, if we can bend these rules, if we work with these law of nature, there are so many laws. If you work with it, like for example, in gravity, if we study gravity, people jump from not just 10-story, people jump from 100-story building with the help of parachutes. They're doing paragliding, free falling and all. So if we study, so Dhamma is actually, Vipassana is actually like studying, gaining the knowledge about law of nature. And we are mostly work with the things called the cause and effect, the law of cause and effect, which is called karma. If you do good, good things will happen to you. If you do bad, bad things will happen to you. The law of nature is not going to let you go free because you are some woman or man or you are some difficulty. No. Law of nature is going to judge you equally. So that's Dhamma. That's law of nature.
Okay.
So there are so many people who have devoted their life to Dhamma through Vipassana. Like there's always this manager in every center who is always there. Even the course is not conducting, that person, they are always there, and they are maintaining the center. They are providing for the needs of meditator. If there is some, you know, renovation, something need to be fixed, so they're helping, and they are not getting any kind of monetary financial payment from it. Nothing. They have benefited from Dhamma so much. They devoted their lives, and I have met so many people like that. There are like trustees who are there to decide things, and they are also serving. Everyone is serving. Then there are people like on 0 day, the first day when you come to attend the course, the course starts the next day, right? So the first day when you enter, there's someone sitting on registering for you, allotting your room. They are also there serving. And then you find someone serving on the 10th day. So there are so many people serving, and I wanted to be part of that service. And Guruji gave me a way to be a part, that you can come and serve a 10-day course. So my service is different from them in just one category, is because I was supposed to be with you 24/7. If you, the people who are meditating, if they need something, they can come to me and they can knock at my door even at night. So that was the difference. But I think that Dhamma server being is the basic service. There are other people who are really, who have devoted their lives and they're working hard. And I would say that I'm the minimum, I'm the least on that service list. There are so many people, even, you know, the assistant teacher, the teacher sitting on the chair, there's some teachers, they're so humble and they sort of down to earth. They say, I'm doing a seva, I'm serving. I am not leading this course, I'm serving this course. Yeah, so assistant teacher is also serving. So that's a service.
What's the one of the key things you've learned from service that you might not get from doing the course? It's just a 10-day course. What's different about serving?
Well, you know, they teach you metta on the last day, and when we are serving, we are given this orientation, we're given a lecture by Guruji, a special discourse happens, and Guruji said, you need to have metta, you need to have love and compassion in your heart when you serve. And there are people in 10-day courses, there are people who are coming their first time. They have no idea what kind of meditation it is. They don't know the rules. Sometimes, they don't know, you know, unknowingly they break the rules. So we have to make them aware. You know, you're not supposed to do this. And there are sometimes people who think that it's easy, it's okay to break the rules. So we have to, you know, tell them that you're supposed to do these things and that things. And there are people, they need some kind of help. It's not really about technique, because for technique, teacher is there, and other than that, it's not personal technique. Then other things, then a server is supposed to handle those things. Like if someone's a window, that glass breaks in the window, there's some spider in the room, there's some scorpio in the room, so we are supposed to go and help them.
There was definitely scorpions in people's rooms.
Yeah, there was scorpio. You should know that I'm from Delhi. I'm a city person. Like, I'm a city rat. And I haven't seen these kind of things. And I saw Scorpio first time in my life. And I was like, I can't handle, I don't know how to handle Scorpio. So I had to ask the staff there. So I called in the staff and they came and they had the Scorpio out of that meditator's room. So that's service. What I have learned is, you know, to not be judgmental. It comes with practice. You have to practice it. It's to, you know, when people are there, and again, I have to say that my first teacher, I did my first servings under Reena ma'am. And Reena ma'am really gave me, she really guided me, just not just in Vipassana, also when I'm serving. So she said this thing during my first service. She said, you know, when people, these places are really good. They're very beautiful places, well-maintained. But when you are like, you are bound, you're just inside that area. You cannot go out. You cannot talk to anyone. It feels like a prison, right? So people feel like they're in a prison, and we are making them to sit with them. It makes them really, really emotional. They are, as Guruji say, these 10-day courses, actually, we are opening your heart. It's an open heart surgery. So when their heart is open, they are really fragile. They are really emotional. And we have to really handle them with care. We have to handle them. And Reena said this thing, see, it's on you. How you want to treat them? You want to treat them like jailer, or you want to treat them like a guardian? Because they only you are there here to help them. So you need to be really careful with your words. You need to be really caring for these people. So I always keep that in my mind, that I'm the guardian. I'm the one here to take care of these people. And there are people, sometimes they are so emotional that they burst out and, you know, they are yelling at us. So at that time also, we have to be in love and compassion. We have to understand that they are going through. This is also part of Vipassana. This is also part of the process of Vipassana purifying. So we have to handle that too. Sometimes people are really angry. It's all about, you know, practicing love and compassion while dealing with people. So there's always people who came here for the first time. They have no idea. They want some guidance, not about technique, for the technique teacher is there. And apart from technique, a server is there to help you if you have any problem regarding food, you have any problem regarding. And, you know, it seems like very small things, but when people are really emotional, it's they really mind even your tone. So you have to be very careful with that. So servicing people have taught me to be gentle, to be kind.
Yeah,
that's right. And yeah, practicing love, we have to keep practicing. Beautiful. Yeah, and when people give this feedback that you made, like you said this thing, that you made a, what did you say?
You there are times where you said a couple of things that might have been like one sentence out of your mouth, but it made me stay.
Yeah, that was my ultimate goal that time, that I figured out, like, there were like three people who were like they wanted to leave. And I was like, I want to help them stay and complete the course. I am there to help them complete the course. So I was like, if I could motivate you in some way, if I could cheer you up in some way, that was that I felt like it was my job to do. And I'm happy that I did my job. And then in the end of the course, when people come to me and they say, it's not just you. I have heard it so many times that, you know, you helped me a lot. You inspired me. And this is very common. I hear all the time, and I never get bored of it. That you inspired me, Richa. You inspired me. Thank you for being there, Richa. You inspired me. Even when I was attending a course, I'm just doing my meditation. I got to my fellow meditation only, Richa. When you sit like this, you inspired me. I should also sit like this.
Yeah.
So it's a big motivation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and there's so much. I feel like there's so much humble. The people who serve are very humble and just genuinely giving, with like giving up 10 days of their life.
I must add that I'm very impressed. This was my third service. Even during my second service, this happened in the male side, the male server. They were kids. They were like 20 years old, 25 year old, and they were serving it for the first time. And they were no old servers, someone who has experience of serving. They had no idea how to serve, but they had intention to serve. You know, they were just kids, beautiful. 20, 25 year old boys. They are there to serve. And I have huge respect for those guys. And I know one day they'll be great men. They'll be a great,
yeah,
they'll achieve
that's
something.
So nice.
Like they'll be, yeah. And even
yeah.
during this course, the male servers, they were serving for the first time.
Yeah.
And I
wow.
really feel so happy about, you know, there's a hope for humanity. The people are there to serve.
That's
yeah.
beautiful. I think that really helps. This final kind of question I wanted to ask you was, how do you think Vipassana can help humanity?
See, as Guruji said, this is the art of life. I'm telling you my own experience.
Yeah.
I'm telling you my experience. I was surviving life.
Mm.
I was being strong. I was in the survival mode. See, your brain is designed, and your brain is the one who, most of the time we struggle, we fight the problems which are imaginary, like future. No one knows about the future. Future is a myth. And we are so scared of future. We are so worried about future. Future, 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 future. And then we are talking about past. We have so much regret. We have so much shame, whatever we have done in the past. So we are always living in past and in the future. We are not in the present. So being in Vipassana, you are being aware. Sati, Samma Sati. Sati means to be aware. And when you are aware, you are in the present moment. So when you are in the present moment, your present moment becomes more fruitful. You know, I've heard somewhere that most of the time, 80% of our day in 24 hours, 80% of our day, we are on an autopilot mode. We are just doing things. We have no idea what we are doing. Like you are in a kitchen, you go, you are cutting a vegetable, you keep cutting a vegetable. You because you went on autopilot.
And that means that then you're reacting. You react
yes.
to emotions and things that you don't know what's going on, and you can. It's
yeah, you are completely lost in your thoughts. That means
yeah.
you're completely lost in your thoughts. And about reacting, I must say, as Reena ma'am has said, that it's not, we cannot control people how they are going to behave. We cannot control how people are going to be good to us, how they're going to be bad to us. We can only control our reaction to their actions.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how, whatever they said, it hurt us. But when we are hurt, it's ours. And now it's ours to heal. So Vipassana helps us to, when we have this love and kindness, when we are aware in the moment, we know this thing, we should not take it to our heart. We should not react on it. Because when you react, you are like expanding it. There's a chain reaction will start and it become a big thing. So when you do not react, you let it just go away. So that's one thing. And the other thing is how it can help, Vipassana can help in humanity is, see, there's from the time there is mankind, from the time history books are written, there's always some kind of war is going on in the world. There's always some kind of natural calamity happening in the world, or some tragedy is happening. There's always some kind of tragedy happening in some corner of the world. There's always something negative is happening from the time of the beginning, right? So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in global peace. I believe in world peace. But I also know it's impossible to have a completely peaceful earth. There's always something negative going to keep happening in the world. The thing is, we need to work. If we want world peace, first we need to work on inner peace. If I myself work on myself, I have done my part. I cannot change other people. I can only change myself. So if I take responsibility of changing my behavior, changing myself of the good part, and other people also do this thing, only then the world can be a peaceful place. So this is how Vipassana can help.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I've caught you when in 3 weeks' time, you're going to be doing a 30-day Vipassana course.
Yes.
And so I'd really love to speak with you after you do your 30-day course as well,
sure.
just to see what other, I mean, insight or anything you can share. Even though I know it's an experience and a personal experience, it would still be really beautiful to speak to you. But how are you feeling now about the 30-day course?
This is going to be my first 30-day course, and I'm feeling really nervous. And let me tell you one thing, that I'm doing this course. You know, some people have asked why you're doing so many courses so fast. Because there are people who only do 10 days courses, they don't go for long courses. And I'm going to give you a very honest answer, that I read this book, Sapiens. Have you heard the book Sapiens? The
Have,
author,
yeah.
Yuval Noah Harari. So I had this book with me before Vipassana. But when I started studying this book after like doing my two courses, I attended two courses. And somehow I started reading this book. I only read like first few chapters and I was really impressed. So I Googled who this author is and I came across a video in which the host was introducing Yuval Noah Harari, that he just came out of a silent retreat, 60 days Vipassana course. And I was like, what? There's a 60-day Vipassana course too?
Wow.
Yeah, from that video, I got to know there's a 60-day Vipassana course. And Yuval Noah Harari is doing that course. And I was really impressed. And I searched how to do a 60-day course. So my aim is to do a 60-day course one day. And it doesn't happen you are not just allowed to be like that. In India, especially, you are supposed to do like you have to do many 10-day courses, then couple of 20 days, then couple of 30 days courses, then couple of 45, then you can do. And in between, you have to keep attending 10-day courses. And there's a chance you might become a teacher, assistant teacher, because for 60 days, you are supposed to be an assistant teacher by that time.
Yeah.
So my aim is to do a 60-day course. And now I decided, I know it's going to be hard, but I'm built for it. I have very strong willpower. I know I can do it. But now as I am supposed to go for a 30-day course, I'm giving my honest answer. I am really nervous. I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
Because going away from home for this long time, I have firm faith in Dhamma. I know Dhamma take care of everything when I'm not here.
So you know Dhamma will take care of everything. So you mean the teaching, what do you mean when you say Dhamma will take care of everything?
Dhamma is the universal law of nature. The nature will be there when I'm not there to take care of my family, my father, my sister, my nieces, my daughters. At that time, that nature, that universe will be, you know, keeping them protected.
Okay.
That I mean. Yeah. So I don't have to be scared that when I'm not there, you know, I won't be able to know what's going to happen to them. So I have this firm faith that nothing wrong will happen to them because of course I can pray for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to speaking with you at the end of the 30-day course. And I think when you do reach that 60-day course, I think you will be an amazing assistant teacher.
I think that will be so valuable. And just to finish up,
do you have any, because one thing that I really took away from Vipassana was it's an experience. Like you can explain it and you can intellectualize it, but that's easy to do in a way. But the actual experience of it is where the change happens. And what was so incredible when I did the course, it was just like, wow, you can only experience this. You can't intellectualize it. But for people who may not be ready to do a course or wanting to do a course, do you have any resources that you recommend to people to understand Vipassana a bit more or get some benefit from it?
Resources. Okay.
Maybe if there's a documentary or...
there is a very good documentary. It's Kiran Bedi. She's retired. She was a jailer in this Indian prison, which has really bad conditions. So she, because, you know, there were criminals who were coming again and again. They were released, they commit some kind of crime, they were again back in the prison. So she started Vipassana course in this really big jail in Delhi, Tihar jail. And there's a documentary about it. And the name of that documentary, it's on YouTube. The name of the documentary is Doing Vipassana, Doing Time.
Okay. I think I'll link to that in the notes for this episode. And if there's any other resources you think of, just send them to me and I can link them as well.
Yeah, sure.
There are so many. And there are a lot of studies that have been done in Vipassana.
Now, before we wrap up, Richard, do you have any final words?
I would say that if you want to practice, if you want to know what love is, what unconditional love is, if you want to feel love, for me, Vipassana is unconditional love. So anyone who wants to feel that real, true love, you need to do this course. You need to attend one of this course. It's hard, but it will teach you. It will teach you the hard truths about life and the truths about yourself.
Yeah.
It teaches me, for me, it was like not to be hard on myself.
It's a good way to end, I think. That's beautiful. That's a nice way to end. I think with the for me, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, but the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I think that's
how I always summarize it. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Richa, and sharing your experiences. And I can't wait to hear from you after your 30 days and stay in touch.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, I look forward for that one too.